Now, I'm looking at four independent candidates who are putting themselves forward in this election. But before I go to them, let's have a listen to some high profile independent candidates from previous dolls.
There has been, a social and economic struggle going on in the centre of Dublin between the state and communities who wanted to remain living in the centre of Dublin.
There have been several serious incidents of verbal abuse aimed at TDs. Some have been ambushed outside of their house. They've been spat at. They've been threatened with having their home burned down. And one has been threatened with having her throat cut.
Investigating themselves, a toothless Taoiseach and a confidential recipient that was not fit for purpose. And you think you can get away with it by deflecting, the reality is that you can't.
In the Dáil, I found it very frustrating. We had people who were in positions of power who were unwilling to listen to frontline staff who deliver a service.
These fellas live in remote country areas. There should be some concession made for them.
And that was, of course, the late, great Jackie Healy-Ray ending that montage. Marion, I'll go to you first. Were the rumours true? Were you being courted by Fine Gael in the run-up to this?
Well, I suppose I can say that over the past 12 months, I've spoken to a lot of different people and people have spoken to me. But Katie...
Were these Fine Gael people or other people as well?
A lot of different people.
A lot of different unknown people.
I have always been independent. I remain so. And I'm putting myself forward as an independent in Sligo Leitrim.
Were you tempted though? Because it's a difficult, lonely road, and it can be a very expensive road to go as an independent when you could have the party machine and the camaraderie and the teams of canvassers behind you.
Well, it certainly can be expensive. My last election was 15 counties. This one, it's much easier. I was in the Dáil before Tony Gregory, the late Tony Gregory, was speaking there, and I sat beside Tony. And that was a different time. Independents were on the back benches. There was no opportunity, really. I mean, Tony had a special deal before that, but when I was elected, there was no opportunity to influence government policy. We're in a very different situation now. No one party, or even two parties, unless, of course, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael go together. And there's no sign of that. So, you know, independence will be needed in the coming government. And I think it's a real opportunity for either as individuals or as a group for rural independence to influence balanced regional development. And that's something that from my very early days in politics has been core to my philosophy. And I think there's a chance that we can actually influence it now.
Verona Murphy, you were only an independent because you were deselected from Fine Gael.
I know, that's not fair to say. I mean, my interest in politics stems from the things I would like to do. Yes, I was deselected and I've learned from that I don't fit a party structure. I want to represent what the people want, not what the party wants the people to think. And I think that's the difference. There's an astonishing difference in this campaign. And yes, the expense and all that is in it, but this one's actually much more enjoyable. The camaraderie that you speak about isn't actually there. Well, I didn't feel it. I did from the people that were voting for me, the people that supported me locally. But it can also be very, very difficult. And I haven't had any of that in this campaign. We have a huge team out. People are coming towards me. And, you know, I have really enjoyed it. I'm tired, yes, I'm not exhausted, but and many of my canvassers, I'm sure, are exhausted. But we have had a great time and it is completely different.
There's still a picture of yourself and Leo on your Twitter profile. Do you know this?
I have no interest.
Is it a little secret, little message to those Fine Gaelers out there who might be wanting a little change?
I bet you if you check, I don't know if you can check. I haven't looked at Twitter, I'd say, in 3 weeks. I certainly haven't. My team haven't. We actually don't use Twitter. We are on the Facebook social media. And really, that is a fact. I haven't looked at it. So it could be. And I don't even know the password.
Will you take particular pleasure in taking out one of the two Fine Gael ministers in Wexford?
No, I'm not like that. This isn't about me. This is about the people of Wexford. If I was running for that reason, it would be very foolish. I think the bottom line is that Wexford has been left behind. We have five elected representatives, but there are huge issues in Wexford. And I feel particularly issues that have been the mental health issue, for instance. It has been promised 4 times last year that the CAMHS unit, which is the Child and Adult Mental Health Services, particularly the child aspect, would be opened under the current government. It's now promised again as an election promise for next March. I just can't believe that they would exploit vulnerable people like that. This unit's ready to go. There's nothing different or that should be different about mental health services in Wexford for vulnerable young children who have to be placed in a unit in Waterford, an adult unit. We need a child psychiatrist.
When you say you can't believe they would exploit vulnerable that they people, would actually, who's they?
I'm talking about that Fine Gael or any candidate now would make a promise that this unit would open in March.
But sure, you were that candidate. You were that Fine Gael candidate promising
this. I made that under a Fine Gael brief. That was a fact. I was told that it would open before Christmas of 2019. When it didn't happen and subsequent things, you can imagine, there was a media ban put on me. I don't accept that that can be how you represent people. And we now have a promise.
But
we
were you that naive or gullible that you just swallowed the brief and regurgitated it and stood over it?
Unfortunately, yes, that is a fact. Not gullible. Believing that the party was supporting me as a candidate with identifying issues. And the issue was that they couldn't retain a child psychiatrist because they had offered a child psychiatrist the job. That child psychiatrist we know took the job in Waterford. What's the difference in Waterford and Wexford? Services and supports. That's the difference. And they're not in place in Wexford.
Well, I'll tell you, there's somebody who's going to tell me all about the services that aren't in place in Waterford now. Matt Shanahan, we have a long history in politics here of single issue, particularly hospital candidates, actually. Are you a single issue candidate?
No, I'm not, Katie. I was interested in the opening piece there from Tony Gregory, I think, where he said that there was a social response going on at the time vis-a-vis the economic status of the inner city of Dublin. And I think that's probably aptly describes where Waterford is at now. So I think I said to you some time ago when you came down to cover the whole issue of cardiac care that the cardiac care issue is emblematic of everything else that's been happening in Waterford, the lack of economic stimulus in the region, the lack of investment. And we're very positive in Waterford. We're very proud. And we're not looking for anything else that other people don't have, but we are looking for equity. And unfortunately, we have not been getting it.
So you've broadened it out from the whole issue of the 24/7 cardiac.
Well, I have
services.
Always said that cardiac care is the poster child for everything else that's going on in Waterford City and County. And if we cannot deliver a life-saving service to the people of Waterford City and County, how are we going to deliver the other needs that we have, the housing, the technological university, etc.?
Well, but how are you going to deliver it, though? Because John Halligan, a huge part of John Halligan's campaign in the run-up to the 2016 election was about exactly this. He was going to be the man. He was going to, he's going to be his red line issue. He refused to go into government until he got that commitment that there was going to be a medical review. And a minister of state failed to deliver.
Yes, he did.
On this. So how you... A mere backbencher.
Well, I think I'm on the record as saying, and I stand by it, that John Halligan was hoodwinked in terms of the promises that he was given and what he thought he was getting delivery of in terms of the review. But one thing I'd say, when John Halligan stood in 2016 on the 24/7 cardiac issue, there was no one else really standing on that platform. Fianna Fáil had given it some exposure, I suppose, going into the election. But interestingly enough, when I was leaving Waterford today, I saw a brand new sign from Sinn Féin with David Cunanan saying 24/7 cardiac care. And actually, every candidate at the moment in Waterford is promising to deliver 24/7 cardiac care. So this issue was never as notable as it is now.
Well, I think the other candidates now might disagree with whether or not they had supported this issue and tried to push this issue over the years. But I mean, the difficulty is, and you still have the same difficulty that John Halligan was facing, which was you now have this Niall Herity review, this Dr. Herity review, which at every turn you're told this proves that this is not needed in
Well, in actual fact, the Heritage Review has been scotched to a degree. What we now have going on is another review soon to be announced by Professor Philip Nolan out of Maynooth. And I would have grave concerns about that review. I have written to Professor Nolan about hospital inpatient data that does not match the cardiac procedures numbers that have been going on in Waterford, for instance. Also about a public consultation phase that didn't happen. So we'll wait and see where all that goes.
OK, everyone's trying to get in. Just very quickly.
On that issue, the difference is I will be supporting Matt with that as a red line if elected as an independent.
Because this is obviously a very big issue in Wexford as well.
It's the South East cardiac unit that doesn't have a 24/7. If you have a heart attack in Hook Head at the weekend, you are unlikely to survive.
OK, so we've just got our first alliance announced here on the late debate.
Well, there's a lot of common purpose, Katie, but we'll come to that.
Because I want to talk to you on exactly that issue as well, Marion. Dean, we're hearing a lot about rural decline and how rural Ireland has been left behind. What's your main priority standing in Dublin Fine Gael?
My main priority is to acknowledge the short-term election politics that we have in this country. Matt's point is very relevant. The need for cardiac services is a relevant issue. But it's the problem with politics in general. Is it just that? It's that these short-term election promises or aspirations are so often not delivered, and all they are is carrot and stick tactics, not by the lack of willingness from candidates in many respects, but the parties in power who allow candidates prop them up in instances like that and fail to deliver, and it's independent candidates like that who get the backlash from it. Short-term election promises and short-term election hearing does not create long-term solution, and that's what we need to get away from, because every crisis that we're talking about on every level, mental health services, cardiovascular services, health education, it's all created because of the next election politics. If you're going to have a cost-benefit analysis, you need to do it not over 5 years, over 20 and 30 years, so that you can actually implement change on the mass level that needs to happen across the country, urban and rural.
Can I ask you something? Because I know that Marion was making the point that because of how fragmented the political system has become, that independents have bigger opportunity to, make an impact, to have their say, to actually be in government, as happened in the last thing. Independence for Change. Are you going to be involved in these negotiations as an alliance, as a pact? Would you be going with a price, or would you be staying unaligned, as Claire Daly and Mick Wallace did in the
As the other independents acknowledged, there is a role for independents in government, but not, as been shown by previous independent alliance candidates, not with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, because they've clearly sold the independents out in that regard. I would never align with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, ever.
That's an absolute red line.
Never in my life. Never, not, no, no.
No, nay, never.
No, nay, never. Not a chance.
Not even Tweedledum,
Tweedledee.
Never. They come to you, Dean, and they say, what is your number one?
I'd engage with progressive left parties. Like, I'd engage with Sinn Féin to form a government, a left coalition.
Because that's not an option, Dean.
It's not about taking leadership. And I think that's what the point is. And often the left get an acknowledgement or lack thereof because they want to be in charge or they want to lead. If you really are left or progressive, it's not about being in charge. It's about doing what's right for your constituents. And sometimes you have to make compromises, but you will not compromise on your values. But if you can help people in a better instance than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have, then why not work with them to do that? And if there is a platform for progressive government, I will absolutely engage.
What if there isn't? What if your only option is to lend your support to a bloc led by either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael in order to get services for your constituents?
Then I'll do the exact same thing as my predecessor Claire Daly and Mick Wallace and be a great opposition independent candidate and speak up based on facts and justice. I represent the chief executive of a cleaner if they're honest and factual and correct. That's what politics is about. People talk about the left being lunacy or crazy. It's not. It's about facts, honesty and equality. And I'll represent anyone on that basis, but I don't feel or believe Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael have that as their moral compass. I believe they rely more on the market than the people on the ground.
Richard, are independent TDs a good thing?
Yes, I suppose, to some extent. So, I mean, there's myths about independent TDs. You know, they make it difficult to form a government. That's not true. We've seen them form governments. OK, it took a long time the last time, but they were part of forming a government. They cause instability is another myth about them. Like, they don't. The record shows that once when they're in power and they're
supposed to be. When they're bought, they stay bought.
Yes. There's also an allegation that they skew resources for their individual products, projects, but you will find that ministers are fairly good at skewing resources for their individual projects. I suppose if you were to criticise them in some way, when Tony Gregory, who we mentioned earlier, did his deal in 1982, it was read into the Dáil. That hasn't happened so much since. So they're allowed at the moment to do almost secret deals. And it'd be interesting to see if the people here today will undertake to publish whatever they're doing. Because the beauty of that is they won't be able to take credit for stuff. You know, there's a situation where you have some government TDs are finding it very difficult because the independent TD is literally everything that happens in their constituency they take credit for.
But isn't the difficulty is you don't want to publish what's in the deal because it stops you taking credit for the extra stuff. And also people might be a bit disappointed with what you managed to bring out.
I think a Dáil with a high number of independent TDs, it would take a long time to pass policy, and I don't particularly think that would be a good. Okay, you might end up with slightly better policy, but at the same time, what's the price of the delay in that? Well, people also say that if you vote for independence, they might end up in. You're taking a gamble. You want them to end up with influence. You want them to end up backing up the government. Jackie Healy-Rae wouldn't have been that great for Kerry if he wasn't able to hold the government over a barrel at that time. But having said that, you take that risk voting for opposition TDs anyway.
Because but you could end up with an independent TD. If the Dáil maths doesn't work out, doesn't fall your way, who's just sitting on the back benches and really doesn't have much access to any of the levers
Katie,
of power?
Katie, anybody can end up sitting on the back benches.
But at least if you're voting for somebody in a party, they have access to the ministers from that party if they're in the government.
Yeah. Of course. Politics is the art of the possible. I've learned that. It's about compromise. It's about finding a way forward. I mean, the whole thing of balanced regional development, that's been promised for the last 30, 40 years. It's never been delivered. I mean, the current Taoiseach has admitted we don't have it. It's in everyone's manifesto, but it never happens. And I believe the only way it can happen is if a group of rural regional TDs were to get together and either be part of government or have influence on government for delivery to the regions. And I'm not speaking about a bigger cake. I'm actually speaking about just getting your fair share. I mean, there was a recent report from the Regional Assembly which made shocking reading, looking at the levels of investment, whether it was national roads, third level infrastructure, all kinds of job creation, etc. And it showed that the northern and western region was way below the national average. I'm not talking about Dublin. I'm just talking about the national average. And if you want to change that, look, Katie.
But why didn't you do that? Because we were hearing rumours. There was very hot rumours there over the last number of months in the run-up to this election that there was all sorts of talks going on between the likes of yourself and other independent candidates and independent TDs about going forward in this election as a joint force, as an alliance with rural regeneration as your main. Why did that not happen?
There were talks, certainly conversations. And post-election, whoever is in place, I can assure you, if I'm there, I'll be on the phone immediately because it's not easy. I'm not suggesting this is, you know, a done deal. It's not. It's about trying to get people to agree on certain basics because regional development is as much about Wexford and Waterford as it is about Sligo and Leitrim. It's not just getting goodies for your place. You know, it's about how we run the country. It has to become how we do our business.
Will you do business with anybody? in pursuit of that?
I have no red lines. I've spent 15 years in the European Parliament, and one of the ways I succeeded was by compromise and working with people. Nobody gets everything they want. But if you can change how we do regional policy, then that would be a huge leap forward.
So no red lines, nobody you won't talk to. Sinn Féin, a lot of people have said they won't talk to Sinn Féin.
Look, if people elect Sinn Féin, if the electorate out there decide on Saturday that they elect Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, then I will work with whoever is there to deliver what I believe is in the best interests of the regions and the region that I represent.
Verona, you've been trying to get in. Would you support a Sinn Féin government?
I'll come back to that, Katie, but just to align with Marion in the regard of rural Ireland, it is the same in the northwest region as it is in the southeast. The IDA came to Wexford 3 times last year. In 10 years, 175 jobs have been created in Wexford. In 10 years, 17.5, you could say, a year. We have 5 mainstream party candidates elected. It has to stop. It's causing such a Dublin rural disconnect that we as independents will align, because the issues are the same in every regional county, in every rural area.
But every rural constituency in the country has sent TDs into Leinster House for every election.
And
there
that's
is.
Why there is an imminent change. I can feel it. I can feel it from the electorate. I can feel it from my council.
Any type of strategic planning in Ireland which looked at how do you do regional development outside of Dublin was hijacked by local interests. I mean, what it would involve is people sitting. You can't develop everywhere. So what you need to do is you need to pick key hubs that already have a certain level of infrastructure, a certain level of services, and then you can develop those.
Like the National Strategic
said
Plan.
That,
remember that one?
Yes, there's numerous of these. And they were never.
Make,
why were they
if
never
I can
implemented?
Just make
because
this point.
No,
no. But
if
just
yeah,
make
they kept
this point
over their own patch.
I couldn't agree more. If that's the case, but Rosslare, your report is a strategic piece of infrastructure that has been completely neglected. So that doesn't.
But say someone
through.
Decided at loan, say there was a study and they decided, hang on a second, at loan is where we should put the scarce resources into. At loan is where we should develop, not Wexford. Would you support that? Would you then go, right, that's
Look,
clever regional development?
Richie, Wexford has the largest populace of the southeast. There is going to be a designated
so
university.
No.
For instance,
so that's a no then.
No.
Sorry, can I just, before we move
thing,
on.
The same thing, if there was a national study on where to put cardiac services.
We have a national development plan.
But if there was a national study on where to put cardiac services to make them the best, and it didn't include Waterford.
Well, I'll tell you, if there's a national cardiac plan.
Because people in Waterford deserve it as Richard, much as the people in Sligo.
If there's a national development plan to give the best cardiac services in the country and it doesn't include Waterford, then I can tell you that plan is absolutely and totally ridiculous. I would say one thing about the cardiac thing, and I think just to reinforce that point here tonight, there are 5 national cardiac centres in the country, and the one in the southeast that caters to 500,000 people is the only one that is denied a 24/7 care access, and that is going on for the past 10 years. We have the National Development Plan, Fine Gael's plan. Everybody accepted this was the way forward. Yeah. Waterford was identified as the strategic city within that plan, the regional driver, and to date, no money has come into Waterford, bar €6 million for a development of the North Keys, which was supposed to be granted €130 million. And to date, we've been given 6. And the reason why independents are now becoming prominent in this election is because people are totally frustrated with party politics. They are not getting fairness. They are not getting equity. And that is what people are looking for.
And okay, can I just add? I want to let Dean in because he hasn't gone in on this.
The elected candidates in Wexford do not have the ability to communicate at government level the issues in relation to Rosslare.
But you have 2 ministers in Wexford.
We have, and it took me as president of the IRHA to go to Le Havre, bring the Department of Transport, bring Rosslare, Europort, Irish Rail, bring the 2 embassies together, and Brittany Ferries to get a new ferry service from Rosslare to Spain.
No, I want to let Dean in, but I just want to ask the question, I didn't get an answer. Yeah. Would you support Sinn Féin government for all?
Again, if the electorate choose to basically elect 25%, I would have to address the Wexford issues, Katie.
Okay.
Isn't it a classic example of what independence role is? we're going to be judged on our activity or inactivity yes. as independents in the Dáil. Mm-hmm. And the issues that were raised around mental health and cardiac services is a classic example of why Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, successive governments of such, have failed to do that. Why would you get the people who caused the problems in the first place to fix them? It's like hiring a plumber who floods your home and saying, he was a nice chap, I'd love to go for a drink with him. Yeah. But you wouldn't get him back to fix the bloody plumbing, would you? Just because it doesn't make sense. They caused these crises. These are the problem.
It's do you feel this pull flawed. Of where we were? Because there is one of
we
the themes of this election
be
has been
overshadowed. If you go to bed with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, simply because they will do what they've done to independents since the independents have aligned with them in the past. Because this isn't the first time independents, the last election wasn't the first time. Before I was born, they did it too, and they've done the exact same thing.
And I have to take a break. I'm sorry, Dean, I have to take a break.
No worries.
Email latedebate@rte.ie. The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. And I'll just give you a few tweets that have come in relation to the programme. One is in relation to that issue that we discussed at the top of the programme in relation to Sinn Féin and the Special Criminal Court. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Amnesty International and the United Nations Commission on Human Rights have all criticised the continued existence of the Special Criminal Court. We have one then regional, we have a fan and maybe a not so fan, Verona. Regional inequity didn't just pop out of nowhere last month when Verona Murphy left Fine Gael. It was as big an issue now as it was when she accepted the Fine Gael nomination. And Verona Murphy will make a great representative for Wexford. Strong independent voice for rural Ireland, says Mary Brickley. Is she any relation?
No, I don't
but just,
think
can
so.
Can I come back Marianne. To Richard's argument? You know, he was saying about, is it going to be Athlone? Is it going to be Rosslare? I started in the Council for the West a long time ago. And over many years, I'm sick listening to, oh, you're looking for a hospital at every crossroads and you want a Lewis from Ballina to Sligo. Look, we're not stupid. We recognise what regional development is. It's about giving the people in the regions the tools with which they can progress. And it's about putting in the services that people can live there, that people can work there. We have never done that systematically. I wouldn't be running for this election if I didn't think there was a real chance that a group of independents could help to deliver on that.
Do you think this really is a Dublin-centric government, not just this government, because as you say, this is going back decades.
Yes. It's not.
Is there a Dublin-centric issue?
I just signed off on a $3 billion national broadband plan to bring broadband to the whole of rural Ireland. Anyone who lives anywhere, up the side of a mountain, down the back of a bog,
Richie, do you think this is very unfair that the government constantly has to deal with this?
Sometimes, there isn't an endless pot of money to develop.
Richie
everywhere.
Says
it's
that
it's hard decisions.
As if we don't deserve.
So Richie, do you think the taxpayer?
Hold on. Hang on. One of the problems in delivering rural broadband is one-off housing, right?
You say that.
One of the other problems is not allowing the ESP to tender, who have a connection into every industrial facility, into every private house in the country, and to have a tender process where basically they were ultimately excluded. That was the most.
But it is about hard decisions.
You also know. You know,
that wasn't a hard decision. That was an absolutely amazingly stupid decision.
Do you think we all are citizens of this country? We all pay our taxes. Mm-hmm. And you have your Lewis in Dublin. You have the kind of services in Dublin we can only dream about. But access to broadband is fundamental. Mm-hmm. People need it to live their lives and people need it to do business. And to suggest that people in parts of the country are somehow less deserving.
No, I didn't suggest that. I just pointed out that
Richard, where are you from, Richard?
Spending. I'm from Ardnacrusha in Clare.
Richard, just to clarify.
Where are you living, Richard?
Just a point to be made. We're a small geographic country. If we know that it takes 90 minutes, you have a 90-minute period in which to survive a heart attack, why is someone in South County Wexford less important? Because that is the reality. If you have it on a Saturday, but you have to go to Cork or you have to go to Dublin. You can't be there in 90 minutes, which means Waterford geographically is the only possibility of surviving that heart attack. That's a 24/7 service that's required, or you are given a death sentence.
I'm conscious that Dean is sitting here and Dublin Fingal has plenty of issues.
And
some of them are shared issues because they'd be commuters and the type of issues that Wexford is...
There are no
If you look at the landmass of Dublin Fingal, there, geographically there are one quarter of Dublin Fingal has no direct broadband at all. There's one quarter of rural Fingal has no direct broadband. There are residents of St Margaret's, Garristown, Nall, Old Town, Rollstown, which Loch Shinney, who actually have to walk outside their own homes to make a phone call. Because they can't even make a phone call. So it's not just... You have to realise there's a huge rural cohort to Dublin.
There is.
And their argument is made, yes, they're 10 minutes from anything, but they're still isolated in those communities because we don't have the infrastructure in place. Roads. Like, I got... When you talk about social housing and different issues, the issues about developing housing. We're developing housing in Dublin Fingal, or we claim to be as a council, in isolated housing... In isolated areas with no infrastructure. We're talking about a sustainable environment.
How can
we create a sustainable environment and talk about the housing crisis and building thousands upon thousands of houses if we do it in a manner that doesn't put the infrastructure first? And that is not just in Dublin Fingal, it's across the country. So when I talk about dealing with the homeless crisis and dealing with all these crises, we need to put the infrastructure in there so that we can develop a sustainable environment that puts people out of their car and into public transport
and
makes it amenable.
Dean, you're absolutely right, because if you look at the ministerial guidelines in relation to planning regulation, it's the very same for Fingal as it is for Wexford and rural Ireland. The high density issue is ludicrous, and that makes it Dublin centric, because you can sell one bedroom apartments as much as you can build them for. In rural Ireland, they're costing twice as much to build as they can be sold for. Therefore, developers,
as someone who's living at home with his parents, find it very hard to get on the market, no matter what. I'm a public representative representing 50,000 people, and I can't buy in the area that I represent.
And
that's a generational thing caused by successive governments who put the reliance on the market rather than, you know, making it affordable for people
and
who have good jobs.
Richie is talking about one-off houses. Let me tell you, Richie, that in Leitrim last year, do you know how many one-off houses were built?
No.
Two. Mm. Two. And thousands of acres of sitka were planted. So people in Leitrim here...
Sorry, why was there only two? Was it because planning permissions are being denied? Or
yes,
this is now the policy of the...
It just can't be attained.
No, but two planning permissions were granted. And people in Leitrim are listening to, well, broadband at 3 billion. The people in Leitrim deserve access to broadband.
They do, of course.
But
there has to be a realisation of the cost of providing it.
Yeah, but Richie, that's one service.
There isn't money
it's
for every
you're
single...
You're from Ardna Prussia.
Yes.
That was the very place where the ESB started.
Yeah.
And back, was it in the 30s? We were able to provide connections to every house in this country. If we can't do the same with broadband, then we've made progress.
To take Richie's point, it's one service that you're speaking about. That is what's preventing businesses for being placed in rural Ireland.
It's vital for them, yeah.
Yeah, but the issue is the services aren't coming to the towns if the IDA is visiting Wexford three times a year.
Okay.
We are overloading.
I'm conscious of the clock, and I do want to get to one issue.
I need to make one point.
No, you've made loads of points, Fiona, to be fair.
Okay.
I want to ask you about the issue that actually... contributed to you running as an independent. Mm-hmm. These comments you made about migrants in the run-up to the by-election last November. Are people raising this with you on the doorsteps now?
No, they're raising the issues of housing, health. They want the Dublin rural disconnect. They want the mental health services and the cardiac unit. It's all of those issues.
In a positive or negative way, I'm wondering.
No.
Do you regret having made those comments now?
It's not an issue for me in this campaign. It wasn't an issue for me in that campaign.
But it has changed the course of your political career, Veronica.
It has not.
Are you saying that you would have left Fine Gael, walked away from Fine Gael, if that those issues hadn't arisen?
I was deselected on the basis of, I faced a media ban the last time you invited me onto this programme. I heard what you said about me. Nobody contacted you to tell you I was under a media ban. You just assumed I didn't turn up. I wasn't allowed.
We were contacted at 2 minutes to 7 o'clock that evening and told that you were not going to be made available to us that evening.
That's absolutely unacceptable. And it was unacceptable to me, and I couldn't operate within a party structure.
But you did not deselect yourself.
Correct. And the difference.
So you were still willing to work within that party structure after that media silencing.
I had to wait for them to make their decision.
Would you be willing to work with them in the new government?
I have no angst whatsoever. My issues will be addressed by any party, and once they're addressed, I will be supporting whoever. I hold no angst with Fine Gael whatsoever. They did what they had to do, and I realised that that party structure wasn't how I envisaged I would be able to represent the people.
Can I ask you about the surge in Sinn Féin and what the other theme of this campaign is? Desire for change. Change seems to be the buzzword here. Is there a likelihood, maybe somebody like yourself, Dean, mm-hmm. who's coming from the left side of the landscape, political landscape, that you're going to be squeezed out because of this surge towards
Sinn Féin? No, I disagree. I think it comes down to, you know, voter education and tactical voting. There's definitely an appetite for Sinn Féin, and that's to be commended if it gets Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael out. But it's people need to look at the ballot paper, and they need to look at independence isn't an ideology, it's a platform. So look at what the independent candidates represent and look at other left parties and vote tactically. So not necessarily, if you think your Sinn Féin candidate is going to get the guaranteed the vote, maybe give the first preference to an independent who might not get the vote, or a lesser left party, and transfer it to Sinn Féin and make it a tactical decision so that there's a stronger chance to get left, progressive, independents and left parties involved with the government with Sinn Féin.
Okay, I have to take my last break now.
Email latedebate@rte.ie.